I'm Steph.
And I'm Jules.
And welcome to The Babesment.
Steph is a body positive photographer.
And Jules is an intuitive eating and body image coach.
And we're passionate about empowering people to own their bodies and themselves so that they can live their biggest, boldest lives.
So join us as we celebrate the stories of incredible humans and the bodies they've lived them in. I don't know when this happened, and maybe everybody else can understand or not understand, but like at a certain point in my life, I just, every time I have to get up off a couch or like move at all, I have to go like, huh!
I mean,
I want to know if everybody's on the same team with me about that, because it's like,
it happens.
It's like a full body. Like I need the noise behind it in order to get my momentum forward. And so it's not Swan Lakey when I press the button, but it was Swan Lakey for you to press the button.
It was somehow Swan Lakey for me to press the button. And we're all here.
I'm just saying that
Maple Bear is here.
You know.
How serene does Maple look?
She's having a great day.
She looks so happy.
Wednesday is her favorite day.
Wednesday is her favorite day. Is it what? It's Thursday.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, is it Wednesday? No, it's Thursday.
Man.
But you know what, Maple?
I was close.
You know what Maple did on Wednesday? This is just too funny. I had to share it.
Is this a story you just told me?
I just told you the story.
It's a good one.
It's like so ridiculous. Like no one knows what it's like to have Maple's your dog. I mean, it's a blessing. It's the biggest blessing. But it's special.
It's a 100-pound blessing.
It's special. So yesterday was this gorgeous 55-degree day.
The sun was out.
Oh, it was just, all it was the, our first like really warm day.
All the men in Ohio were wearing shorts.
It was spectacular.
Yes.
Oh my God, this is a quick sidebar. Because what you just said reminded me.
A quick sidebar of your sidebar.
Sidebar of my sidebar. Okay, at BC in undergrad, there was this like ongoing joke that had been passed down from like, I don't know, class to class to class.
Mm-hmm.
That, and it was never like, it was not never like declared a day, mm-hmm. like a holiday. And no one actually knew. There was no collective knowing mm-hmm. of when it would be. But somehow, everyone knew when it was skirt day.
Skirt day?
Skirt day.
Is that like…
Skirt day was that first nice day.
Ah.
When all the girls were like, I'm wearing a dress or skirt to class today. And like, and you yourself didn't even realize it was skirt day until you look around and everyone's in skirts. I mean, it was fucking hilarious. Like, it was so funny. It was like, oh my God, skirt day. It was like this like… urban legend up at BC, but like it happened every year. It was like somehow all the women collectively came together and was like, let's all wear skirts today.
It's like all of a sudden it just became implanted in your brain. Like, I'm going to wear a skirt
yes,
today.
Yes.
You know what? I'm going to wear a skirt today.
No, literally. So it was short day yesterday for the men in
Ohio.
Well,
the men in Ohio have probably actually been wearing shorts for quite some time because it was above freezing.
Yeah.
If you don't live here, you might not understand.
You might not get it. So anyways, it was a gorgeous day.
Yes.
and I'm taking Maple for a walk, and she can be a very stubborn walker. Like, I have a standing walk with my friend Jess, who we had on the podcast back in October. Hey,
hey
Jess. Hello. And when we walk, I won't take Maple because we want to like really walk.
Mm-hmm.
We like cover ground.
Yeah,
we, like,
it's a walk
we're
and talk.
Brisk. We're like, we're walk. So I can't take Maple.
I
which
love
is,
a walk
like,
and talk.
Not the norm for most dogs. Speaking of Maple, she's now looking at us like, hey guys, can I please come up on the couch? So anyways, so I'm walking Maple. And for all y'all, you have to know that my in-laws live two streets north of us. Okay. Well, I walked Maple.
Maple, you can do it. I had to move my water bottle over 2 inches.
I wasn't sure because there was a cord there. Would she like surpass the cord? Here she is. Now she's just in between us. Her prized spot on my podcast. Okay.
You make a better freaking, what is it? Door
window?
Than a window?
Door. Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
Stop
that's
breathing
it.
Into my mic,
so
Maple.
So my in-laws live two streets north. I decided to walk Maple going south. Mm-hmm. And so I walk her in the opposite direction. And I was actually like reviewing our podcast episode for the next week. So I was kind of like working on this walk. So we're walking. And Maple got to be really stubborn when I was trying to like turn on a different street to like, you know, make a square, like, you know, make a big square. She was like, sure. Fuck no. And what she does is she sits her ass down in the middle of the street that I'm trying to turn onto and says, fuck you, mom. I'm not going to go that way. And when your animal is 100 pounds, and I have tricks to try and get her to move. I stop my feet behind her.
I've seen you forcefully like push her butt in the direction
push her butt.
That you want to go.
I have tricks. Sometimes none of the tricks work. And sometimes what you have to do is be like, okay, well, Maple, where do you want to go? Like literally. And I kind of walk in all around her and then she'll choose a direction and that's just like, yeah, let's go. And she what's the word? Like jaunters. Like is jaunters a word?
I think a jaunt.
She jaunts.
But I don't know if jaunters is a thing. Are you thinking like a
guys, I'm like waving my hands back and forth and like my head's going side to side.
It's the perfect thing to use on a podcast.
It's like
she's like trotting.
Trotting. That's the word. She's trots. She trots like, yes, this is exactly where I want to go. And so I had to like literally do this a lot of times. And Maple was like, fuck you, mom. No, I don't want to go that way. No, no, no. And I was like, oh my God. She literally walked us to my in-law's house. I kid you the fuck not. Maple walked me up the driveway of my in-laws. I call my mother-in-law. I'm like, Maple walked me here. She wanted to see you. And my mother-in-law runs. She loves Maple. Maple loves her. She runs out of the house. Maple! And Maple was like, yes, Tony! And I was just like, oh my God. My dog just fucking walked me.
Maple's literally pulling my mic away from me.
Maple. Okay. There we go. Lay down. Good girl.
That's so that hilarious.
Was ridiculous.
She's like, she took you on a walk.
She like people always like that's like a joke with big dogs. They're like, who's walking who?
And you're like, not a joke.
I'm like, I know, right? Lols. But this was like a literal Maple literally walked me. I had one plan for our walk and she had another.
Well, you know, she's a very forceful, powerful woman. What can I say?
And then Haley actually had to come pick us up because Maple would not go home.
That sounds right.
That's just par for the course.
Oh my goodness.
If you've never had to call someone to pick you and your dog up on a walk, take you home, you'll never understand.
That's hilarious.
If you have had that experience, please DM us. Yeah, I would love to know that.
We understand.
I'm not alone.
Oh my goodness. Well, welcome to the Babesment.
Welcome to the
our podcast.
Could you imagine this is someone's like first episode? They're like, what is happening on this podcast? Just us and a massive Bernie's Mountain Dog.
Listen, we used to have like a whole thing and we would always start.
Hey, Steph. Hey, Jules.
Yeah. And then we got into our second year of podcasting and much like, you know, they say it's like your first child and then your second child.
That's so true.
I think we've just thrown
all caution to the wind.
I'm just like, it's fine. We press the button. Let's do whatever.
We press the button. We just start moving our lips and see what comes out. And, yeah. You know, if it's good, it's good.
Listen, I'm not worried about it.
It's fine. It's good. It's good. So it's a solo episode.
It's a solo episode
obviously.
Today.
It's just I can't say it's just the two of us because it's Maple too. It's the three
Everybody
of us.
Everybody knows she's the backbone of this entire
Everyone knows. And we have some good topics. Before we get into our topics, we just like to have some fun sometimes, you know, just like it's gal time.
Yeah.
You know what show I just found?
What?
Show? High School Musical, the musical, the series.
Okay, do you know the
that's
drama?
Yes!
Do you know the drama about the song?
Why I started watching it because I was listening on a pop culture podcast and they were like mm-hmm. going into the drama of Driver's License by Olivia Rodrigo.
And all of I only know it because I got TikTok. Okay, I don't post anything on TikTok, but I have it. And so I'm getting very good at knowing what's going on with the youths.
So funny. I think I technically have TikTok and I tried to do one for Maple, but it confuses me.
I've never made a single thing. I follow my like four friends that I just send things back and forth to them and that's it. And that's exactly what I want it to be.
Yeah,
don't follow
perfect.
Me. Stay away from me.
Stay away from me.
I'm not
going to
make anything.
No.
I'll hang out with you on Instagram anytime.
Yeah.
But like,
yeah.
I never watched the show. I only know that it exists, honestly, because of the Driver's License song and TikTok.
Same.
I just watched Mandalorian, which is Star Wars.
We started watching it like last year when it came out.
Yeah.
There's just not enough dialogue for me.
Well, so
I was like, move along. What's happening? And I'm just watching them walk around.
Okay, well, first of all, you've got to get to Baby Yoda because
we got to Baby Yoda.
That's the whole point.
And then all we did is watch Baby Yoda float around. I'm like, this is what's happening here. I'm right.
You got to give it more time because then Baby Yoda gets a really good personality and Baby Yoda and the Mandalorian have like a buddy thing and he's really cute and he's really excited whenever he gets to go fast and he's like, woo! First of all, so Zach and I rewatched all the Star Warses. We watched all the Star Wars.
That's a feat.
In chronological order, which was really cool to do.
That's a feat.
But we skipped the Solo movie because that one's trash. Everybody knows it. Anyway, but we watched all those and then we watched Mandalorian and it was really good. And I have to say that I'm really impressed with the show because Mandalorian has a friggin' mask on for the whole thing, but he emotes so well. He has so much emotion. You can tell what he's feeling. And to get that much personality from a character without a face is impressive.
I'll give that to you.
And also, Baby Yoda is cute as fuck.
See, I think SNL ruined Baby Yoda for me because they do a funny like Baby Yoda impersonation and like it creeps me out now. So like now when I think of Baby Yoda, I think of like the dude from SNL who impersonates Baby Yoda.
I never saw that because I don't pay attention.
But also, so we like love SNL in our house. I mean, me more than Alex. And it's not all funny. I like totally own that. But some things it's funny. Speaking of the driver's license song.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome, everybody. Go Google SNL driver's license skit. It's fucking hilarious.
So
like, even Alex was like we were howling.
Oh my God.
It is so good. We'll watch it after this episode and you'll see. It's so good.
Speaking of
but
SNL.
I'm really into High School Musical, the musical of the series, which that is the full name, you guys. That's like the actual name. It's great.
It's great.
It's like the perfect, like chill. I love a good high school show and it's a great little high school show.
High school drama is the best. I hated it when I was there, but I love it now for entertainment value. You know what I started watching also?
What?
The show you were talking about, The Winx, the fake
one. Isn't it so good?
It's really good. I'm only two episodes into it, but I was just like, ooh, magical school.
Yeah.
And she's like a changeling or whatever. And I was like, ooh, creepy. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm watching that.
Oh. It's great. I love TV.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of TV, but I get like weird where if it doesn't really hold my attention, I don't want to watch it because I can't like do another thing and watch a new show at the same time. Like I have to be all in. I have to be all in.
Yeah.
And so then it's like if you're not holding my attention, I'm not interested and I'll
quit. Well, that's me and Mandalorian.
Well, that's fair, but I was in it for Baby Yoda and I also had no out because Zach really wanted me to watch it.
Alex would be thrilled if I was like, let's watch it. But
I thought it was good. Anyway.
Most people do. Most people love it.
You know what? Everybody gets to choose what they like. And that's the great thing about being a human.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed. So I guess with that.
Should we talk about a thing?
Let's talk about some things. So you may have heard. Diet culture's latest/wellness culture. Their latest attempt to hijack intuitive eating. It is quite ridiculous.
Wah, wah, wah.
It is called intuitive fasting.
You may.
Which like the name itself is just like the biggest fucking oxymoron.
That's what I was going to say.
It's like, oh my God, diet culture, LOL. Like, do you know what the word intuitive means? The only time we intuitively fast is when we're asleep.
Yeah, it's like we actually already fast. We go to sleep for like 8 hours.
That is intuitive fasting. It's called sleeping. And that is the only way to intuitively fast. And people were pissed, especially. This would have been bad no matter what, right? Like this is just, it's so damaging for anybody with, you know, food struggle history, body image history, eating disorder history, especially anorexia. Like it's so problematic for so many people and will send many people who haven't even like had eating disorders into eating disorders for sure because it basically is just rebranded anorexia. But it was even more problematic and more enraging because Gwyneth Paltrow posts about it and it really like came onto the scene during National Eating Disorder Awareness Week.
Yeah.
And so everyone was just like, are you fucking kidding me?
It really, I mean, again, I I think it was the same thing that happened to us with Adele, where I didn't actually see the post being shared.
Someone shared
I
it saw with
you. Mm-hmm. The responses, and yes. I had a few people send it directly to me.
I don't
me.
Follow Goop.
I don't follow any of that. But you know, I...
No shame if you do, I just don't.
Yeah, I mean, it was sort of one of those things where it was like, oh, diet culture has now realized that the word diet is uncool, right? And so they're going to co-opt the new terminology, the things that people have created to move outside of diet culture and be like, no, we're that too.
Yeah.
We're that too. It's yeah. so good for you. This isn't a diet. This is intuitive. Okay. But the thing about being intuitive is that you're listening to your body. And if you're just like, let me not eat for 12 hours or whatever, even if my body is like, hey girl, you hungry?
Yeah.
That's not intuitive.
It's not intuitive.
It's not natural.
You know what it is? It's big, 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 big gaslight energy.
Yeah.
Let's tell you it's intuitive. And so then, and that, but really all it does is make you question and doubt your intuition and question and doubt your body's cues. And it separates you from your hunger and fullness cues. It separates you from that connection with your body. It ruins the trust you have with your body. It's total gaslighting.
Yeah.
Cause like, oh no, it's intuitive. Well, if it's telling you to, that you can't eat a certain times a day, which it is,
mm-hmm.
not fucking intuitive.
Well, and I think it's the thing about it is, you know, I saw some things that were like, we shouldn't be mad at Gwyneth. We should be mad at the man who wrote the book, which like we absolutely should be angry at that man that wrote the book. But we should also be angry at a person who is clearly doing that to make money and knows that she has a platform and thus a responsibility to the people who pay attention to her.
Yeah.
Especially somebody like Gwyneth, who is very deeply into wellness culture.
Which is just as bad as diet culture, honestly.
Icky.
Yeah.
To say the least. Yeah. And I think that it does mean that she has a responsibility to acknowledge what she's doing. And the fact that, you know, she is sharing something saying, this can help you look like me. Gwyneth has always looked like Gwyneth. Gwyneth does not look like Gwyneth because she has been intuitively fasting because if she probably hasn't been doing it that long. She looks like Gwyneth because that's the body that she is meant to have. I am yeah. not meant to have it's a body both, that looks like Gwyneth.
It's both genes and insane celebrity privilege.
Insane privilege and wealth.
Yeah.
She has right. the wealth and the privilege right. and the ability to have an extreme portion of her day
yep.
be dedicated to the way that her mm-hmm. body looks.
But even so, like back to the genetic piece, it like some 70% of our weight is just genetically informed.
Absolutely.
70%. That comes from Christy Harrison and her research in anti-diet.
Which is why you probably could look at photos of Gwyneth from 10 years ago and photos of Gwyneth from now. And she probably doesn't look very different. And that's because an intuitive fasting diet is not going to help your body look different
mm-hmm.
because diets don't help.
And here's something interesting. This is interesting.
Hmm.
I have a friend who's like amazing. She does intuitive eating coaching as well. And she actually personally knows the guy who wrote the book.
Really?
Yes. And we were chatting and she's like, you know, she's obviously also like enraged and pissed about it. And she's like, it's really hard because like, I know him. She's like, I know this man personally. Like has had like, she knows this man personally. And she's like, he's a good guy. He cares about health. He cares about people. And he thinks he's doing the right thing. And that's the thing. I'm not going to say all people who write these books think they're doing the right thing because I don't know that they all do, but I think a lot of them,
I think
they really care about health and they mm-hmm. really care about empowering people to be healthy. And so the come from is like, they want to help people be healthy and they think they found this thing. They think they found the way it will help people be healthy.
Yeah.
And like, I can acknowledge that is his come from while also acknowledging the devastating impact that it's actually going to have.
100%.
He might think that, oh, it's going to help people, but what's really going to happen is it's going to spur thousands. I mean, depending on how many people try it, but like, let's just say thousands of eating disorders, of life-threatening eating disorders.
Absolutely. And it's, it just also to me is like, read the fucking room to post something like that during eating disorder awareness.
During eating disorder awareness.
Because not only is a program like that going to spur a lot of new fresh eating disorders, but it could lead a person back into eating disorder. It could be highly triggering.
Especially because it uses the word intuitive.
Absolutely. Because it's misleading.
It's misleading.
And it's being presented with this beautiful wrapping paper of something that is intuitive and is a lifestyle and is a way to be well and healthy. It's got the wrapping paper, right? It looks beautiful. Mm-hmm. But on the inside, it's the same old bullshit.
Yep.
It's the same old bullshit on the inside. And we, you know, diet culture is very smart. That's why she has succeeded for as long as she has. Why she's...
Let's call it a he just because like, let's...
Well, I just was saying that because we've said like she's a sneaky bitch.
She's a sneaky bitch. But it makes me be like, should we be calling diet culture a he just so that we can demonize a male identity?
I'm not...
I mean, it is patriarchal.
It is very patriarchal. I'm not going to apply an identity. I think they are a sneaky bitch.
They are a sneaky bitch.
But diet culture... exists and has continued to exist because diet culture is highly adaptive.
Yeah.
Diet culture is very smart. Diet culture has a lot of marketing degrees and
so many marketing degrees.
And diet culture is always adapting, always changing, always keeping up with the ways that diet culture can continue to put on new wrapping papers.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's the most important for all of us to pay attention and to really be questioning who we're getting our information from, right? Like, who are you? Yeah. Who are you choosing to learn things about health and wellness and diet from? Is it somebody like Gwyneth Paltrow, or is it somebody who has a background in intuitive eating? Yeah. Or because I think that's the thing is that it's the same that we see with fucking like Facebook news and bullshit on Twitter, and it's like, verifying sources is a very important thing.
And I just need to say a few things. Number one, being a celebrity does not make you an expert in like whatever you want to be an expert in.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Yeah.
Period. Okay. Number two, having a skinny body doesn't make you a health expert.
Absolutely.
Period. And please hear me on this next one, because it's something that I've been fired up about this week, especially. Having a fuck ton of Instagram followers does not give you credibility, expertise, or more value in the world.
It doesn't.
I don't care if you have a million followers. I don't care. Your followers count doesn't give you credibility.
Yeah.
So even though Gwyneth, it's all of those. Skinny body, celebrity. I don't even know how many millions of followers
she has.
Those things don't equal expert.
It doesn't make you an authority just because more people are listening.
Yeah, it does. I think it's so dangerous when we, especially I think the follower thing, we see someone has 100,000 followers or a million followers and we automatically then assume, oh, they must be an expert. No, it just means that they're an Instagram influencer. It doesn't, but might they be an expert who also has a big following? Absolutely. But might they have a big following and not be an expert? Absolutely.
I think that
it's so important for us to say.
I think it's a bigger conversation, but it's so important to always bring it up in these instances where follower count is seen as validation.
Yep.
And seen as
validation.
Like, yeah. It's validation, right?
Well, all these people follow them, so they must know what they're talking about.
They must have some level of expertise. They must be more in the know. They must have some more kind of certification. But the reality is that a lot of the time, as if you're a celebrity, it's one thing. You know, Gwyneth Paltrow's in movies or whatever the fuck. If you're an influencer or something like that, a lot of it is luck. A lot of it is the right person who already has a ton of followers seeing your thing.
And privilege, like looking a certain way and then having like the beautiful photographs and the money to have the beautiful photographs.
Absolutely.
And like it's, yeah, right. It's like all the things.
It's all of these components working together to give you those follower counts. It's not generally because of the power of your content, your expertise level, what you know, what you present to people. And we see it all the time. That's why, we are such big proponents of really curating your feed, understanding that you are allowed to unfollow, you are allowed to block or mute or whatever you want to for somebody if they are saying something that doesn't align with you. And yeah. that goes for yeah. even people who are like big names in a field. Even somebody who like, you know, like Gwyneth, who's got Goop and got whatever. Like if what she's spouting isn't sitting with you, don't follow her. Turn it off.
I mean, there are some people I can think of that are major influencers in like the body acceptance, body positive, you know, space mm-hmm. that have massive followings. And I see their content. And from a professional standpoint of like the research and data, I'm like, they're missing the mark.
Yeah.
And their message is actually hypocritical and harmful.
Yeah.
And yet they have so many followers. And hey, I can say that from my standpoint and my viewpoint and be like, eh, don't really resonate with that person and the way that they share their message. But who am I to say that they don't help some people?
Yeah.
Okay. And but like, I think that largely they're not. But hey, who am I to say who, you know, who's helped by who? It's whatever. But I think it's really important that we like say like, y'all be really aware of who you're following. What's their background? Mm-hmm. What's their background? And like, what's their education? Like, where's their come from? Because like, ooh.
Well, and even what are they actually saying?
And what are they actually doing too? It's like, what are they saying and doing? Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times people's words and their content, and then you see how they actually live their lives and you're like, things don't quite add up.
Yeah. I mean, it's very true. I think that especially in the body image world, you can maybe not even fully notice mm-hmm. a person who is spouting one type of belief system and saying, you know, all of the beautiful things about loving yourself mm-hmm. and embracing who you are and mm-hmm. what you look like and all that, but not really walking the walk.
Yeah.
And I think that it's something that we all have to maybe open our eyes to a little bit more, because when you see these people who have all these followers, like we have been trained as we've grown in this social media age to believe that that means something about a person. That means something about a person's value. It means something about what they're saying, and what they're saying carries more weight. But the reality is you get to choose whose opinions carry weight for you.
And it's really important this day and age, especially, that we're questioning what we're seeing, and we're questioning the information, and where is it coming from, and what's their background, and what are the sources? Like,
yeah.
I mean, look at all the fake news stuff, right? It's like, oh my God, we need to start developing a critical lens, mm-hmm. you know, and really and not just accepting whatever we're seeing. Oh, there's intuitive fasting. It must just be whatever or whatever it is. It's like, let's take a pause and like just question.
Yeah.
This might be legit. It might not be legit. Let's like do a little digging and see like what's actually going on here.
I think the best way that like I view anything like this is to sort of approach it like a 3-year-old and just be like, but why?
Yes.
But why? But why? But why? But why? Like, just you have to ask why yes. like seven yes, times yes, yes. about anything. And I, you know, I think that it's important to remain curious mm-hmm. and just sort of always be asking like, why is this a thing? Mm-hmm. Why is this a thing that other people are believing? Why would this be a thing that I would believe? If it's not a thing I would believe, why? Like, why? Why does this sit with me or not sit with me? And the more that you ask yourself why, the deeper you'll get into your actual beliefs and what really works for you. And yeah. everybody's whys are different, but that's why it's important that each of us asks them.
Yes. Yes.
Hi, friends. It's me, Steph. Can I paint you a little bit of a picture right now?
Please do.
All right. So it's summer. I know right now it's still spring, so you can maybe feel it starting, right? The sun is coming out more. Imagine that it is 7:30 a.m. on a warm July morning. It's already really warm, but it's not that gross hot yet. And you're up early, you're waking up with the sun, and you know what you're doing? You're coming to meet me for a water session because you are fucking ready. You're ready right now to to come celebrate yourself and you want to do it in the most freeing way, you want to meet me in the water, you want to hit that water for the first time and feel your fear and your nerves and all of the wrong and old ideas about yourself just fall away. You want to feel them get washed away in the water.
Wash away.
And you want to do that by really truly seeing yourself. You want to know the truth of yourself. You want to feel your power and your energy and your fucking magic, because trust me, you are magic. So if you've been thinking that you might want to do a goddess session and you really love the water shots and you think they're so beautiful, but you're not sure how that could possibly be you, it is you. You are ready. Don't wait. My sessions for the summer are filling up super fast. You want to book soon, especially if you want a weekend morning. I don't have a ton available. So go ahead and hit the link in our show notes, in my Instagram bio, on my website. Fill out your booking form. Come meet me in the waves. It's going to be amazing. Okay, bye.
So I want to read two different Instagram posts about the Gwyneth stuff. One is from Anna Sweeney, who is a registered dietitian. She has a lot of initials after.
Nice.
She has a master's of science. She has an LDN. I know that relates to like nutrition and something like that, like a licensed dietitian nutritionist, maybe. That's probably what it is. And then certified eating disorder registered dietitian.
Damn.
So she has a lot.
Like legit, a lot of those letters. A
lot of legit credibility. Okay. She writes, "Intuitive fasting is not a thing, Dr. Will Cole. You can't starve yourself into a, quote, recharge metabolism. Seriously, quite the opposite. Gwyneth Paltrow does not care about or know anything about your health. She's an actor. Right now, she's acting like an expert. She's not. She is a human who is using her influence to subtly suggest that if you do what she is recommending, you'll have her experience on this planet. You will not. You will not have a famous father. You will not have been married to lead singer Coldplay. You will not have had a child with Chris Martin. You will not have time to make garbage health and Netflix shows. You will not be at the helm of the pandering Goop network. Don't buy this book. Don't look to doctors who are appealing to your insecurities to make a name for themselves. Don't engage in a practice that is using the word intuitive incorrectly. Fasting is not intuitive. This is insulting to anyone who has ever faced food insecurity or experienced an eating disorder. This should be insulting to any human who is caring for other humans. I don't care about Gwyneth Paltrow. She was a good actor. Her health pro cameo turned into her new role on this planet, a thing I care deeply about because it's messing with humans who matter to me. It feels wrong because it is."
Ooh.
I was like, drop mic. Drop mic.
Yeah.
So well done.
Yeah. That's and the whole thing.
It's the whole thing right there, you guys. And as a certified intuitive eating counselor, I'm in a Facebook group with other certified intuitive eating pros, and Evelyn Tribbley is in there. Mm-hmm. Evelyn Tribbley, for those of you who don't know, is the co-author of Intuitive Eating. She is like a truly phenomenal human being. Like, it's one of those things where like you meet your idol and they're amazing and you're like, wow, like even better than what you're like, you're so great. That's Evelyn. She's like truly wonderful. And two things here. Like she was saying, like people were like, are you guys going to sue? Like they're using like intuitive, they're co-opting intuitive eating. Are you going to sue? And they were just like, it's almost impossible. Or it's like, it would cost so many millions of dollars that like, it would just be like, all this money for what? Like, you know, and so they just kind of can't. But she also did a great post, how to spot fake intuitive eating. And I just thought I'd also
read
straight
one
from the expert Evelyn, because it's really, really great. And then we can kind of go off this on like more, because I think it's important. Like when intuitive eating is being co-opted, like let's talk about like what intuitive eating actually freaking is.
Right.
Okay, so she says, "Diet culture is co-opting intuitive eating big time. So it's time for another reminder about what intuitive eating is and what it is not. The perfect, and I'll call it IE, just because that's way quicker.
Yeah.
The purpose of IE is to cultivate a healthy relationship with food, mind, and body through self-connection. IE is not fasting or keto, your cheat day, aligned or authorized use with any weight loss food plan or program, including Noom, Weight Watchers, or any program with food rules for the purpose of shrinking your body or disconnecting you from it. Counting macros, points, or food groups. A diet. You can't cherry pick one or two principles and call it intuitive eating. What intuitive eating is, it's an evidence-based self-care eating framework with over 140 studies to date. It is far more nuanced than eat when you're hungry, stop when you're full. It's a dynamic interplay of instinct, rational mind, and thought. It's about bringing pleasure back to the eating experience and connecting to your body. It's a self-care, or it's a self-connection journey of learning and discovery, not pass or fail. Has 10 principles, which are guideposts. You and only you get to decide what tastes and feels best in your body. You are the expert on you. You are in charge. It's an integration of mind-body knowledge, recognizing that life gets hectic and busy at times. Sometimes, for example, your lunch break may be before you're physically hungry. That's okay. This is where your mind knowledge comes in. Your body still needs nourishment before a busy afternoon. Intuitive eating is health at every size aligned and weight inclusive. It's about dignity and respect for all bodies. Diet culture doesn't get to change or redefine the principles of intuitive eating. Go to the source, intuitiveeating.org, the Intuitive Eating 4th Edition book, the workbook, or the creators, Evelyn Tribbley, Elise Raich. If a person or program is offering intuitive eating for weight loss or fasting, run away.
Run away.
There, right there, my friends. All right?
Yeah.
What intuitive eating is and what it is not.
And I think that's the most important piece is the, you know, again, diet culture, tying things up in pretty bows is always going to keep happening. And that's why we have to remain firm and confident in our truth. And that's why that's such a great reminder of what intuitive eating really is, what it's not. So that we don't get distracted by the pretty wrapping paper.
And I think it's so important too, because I think a lot of people will talk about intuitive eating. I hear a lot of like macro people that, and if you're like, what's a macro person? It's like people who like count macros.
What is a macro? I don't even know.
Macronutrient. So they'll count the numbers of fat, protein, and carbs. And they have a certain amount that they can have each day.
That sounds made up. Anyway.
It's like, they say it's like flexible and whatever, but it's like, no,
you're
it's
actually, counting.
You're calculating literally every morsel of food. How is that flexible?
Food is how not is that math, okay? Food's not math.
It's
just
not.
Leave it alone.
It's not.
Why you gotta try to bring math into something that I enjoy? Like, I'm sorry, but you're gonna bring friggin' math into
no.
this?
No.
No.
No. No.
I don't want to.
But yeah, so macro people, I hear this most from them. They'll be like, come to my program. I'll teach you how to count macros. You'll do it so you can learn about nutrition and what your body needs so that you then can eat intuitively.
Mm.
And that is another co-opting, because it's like they don't actually, and I'm not saying like they're bad people. Like they just don't realize what they're doing. They just don't know. They come from a good place. Again, these people are coming from a good place of like, I really think that this works to help people be healthy. And like they really are coming from a good place. And I totally acknowledge that. But that in itself is, I can just see from like even that like phrase, I'm like, oh, you don't get what intuitive eating is.
Well, it's because diet culture is the norm.
Yeah.
Intuitive eating is the outlier.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that we have to remember is that it's so normal to us
yeah.
to live in this world where diet culture is the bad guy and intuitive eating makes sense and eating is a natural process and we don't count and we don't do whatever. But we are in the minority of belief systems.
Uh-huh.
And that's why it's very easy for somebody to think that they're doing the right thing.
Right.
By mixing these things together.
Yeah.
But in actuality, that's not how it works.
Well, and people hear intuitive eating and they just think, oh, it's just like you eat what you want. You just like, you like listen to your body. And it's like, well, yes, but that is a very simplified version of intuitive eating. Again, mm-hmm. like it includes 10 principles. 10 principles that you work on, all 10 principles to help you build this deep connection and trust with your body.
Yeah.
And so it's not just like I eat when I'm hungry, I stop when I'm full. It's not just like I eat whatever. It's not just like I listen. It's like there are 10 principles that go into intuitive eating. And one of the first ones, of course, the primary principle is to reject the diet mentality and to reject food rules. And really what we're doing at the intuitive eating is we are literally, because we're all born intuitive eaters. Mm-hmm. We're all born this way. And you can easily raise, you know, your children to just keep that throughout their lives. I shouldn't say easily because like at every turn, like school and
there's so many outside people's houses. Forces.
Right. So I shouldn't say not easily, but you can, right? But we're born intuitive eaters. And then all the food rules are what fuck us up. And create a really, harmful, out of control relationship with food. Actually, good plug right here, guys. We're doing a special bonus episode.
Heyo.
That's happening this Thursday for my 30th birthday.
Yay! Welcome.
It's, And so if you're like actually curious about knowing more of like the research and data behind like why diets don't work and why we all feel crazy around food and why intentional weight loss backfires. I'm doing my live crash course that I did on Thursday the 11th that you probably heard about or maybe heard about. I'm doing that for you guys on the podcast. Mm. And so you can easily have in your ears and like get in all the goodness and hear all that because like it is, I go through like three of diet culture's biggest lies.
Yeah.
But it really helps you to understand what I'm talking, what we're talking about right now. And so highly recommend actually tuning in on Thursday on my birthday to listen to that episode because that'll give a lot of clarity here. But truly, it's all the rules that then lead us to having these messed up relationships with food. It's these rules that disconnect us from our bodies, right? Because we're literally saying, I have to follow these rules, like this macro count, this whatever it is, this fasting time window. I have to listen to that. And that overrides our body, right? And then we disconnect and we have distrust between our body and our cues. And so do you see how like what an oxymoron it is for someone to be like, no, come count these macros to then eat intuitively. It's like being like, okay, I'm going to wash my floors of my house. But first, I'm going to just like throw dirt everywhere. And then I'm going to clean my floors. It's like, what? Like that makes no sense. You never intentionally be like, let's pour dirt on my floors and then mop them. Right? Like you're creating way more work for yourself. Just mop the floor.
Yeah.
Just, right? But that's honestly a really good analogy for like what's happening when we say, oh, I have to do this plan, this protocol, this lifestyle thing, and then I can eat intuitively. It's like, no, now you're just making it harder for yourself to eat intuitively because you're putting on another layer.
It's getting
of
you
food rules.
It's getting you further away.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to go for a walk around the block, but first let me drive a mile away and then walk back to my neighborhood and walk around my block.
Right. Like how hard can I make this? But I get what those people are like thinking. I get how they think that would be, but it's just, unfortunately, it's just not the case.
I mean, again, I think it's just a great reminder of how extremely normalized dieting is.
Yeah.
And disordered eating.
Because it basically is disordered eating.
I mean, it is. And it's something that, you know, I posted about recently is like, my eating disorder was never called an eating disorder. My eating disorder, I never got help for. It was never acknowledged. I was only ever praised for it because it was not, because it's so normalized. Because when a person goes from living in a fat body to a still fat body,
right,
that is dedication. That's not disorder.
Ugh.
Right? But it was. It was an eating disorder. I was very, very sick. And so it makes me really upset to see these things be so normalized and to see a lot of people who I know, again, have the best of intentions, want people to be healthy, want people to feel good. Mm-hmm. But they just don't have all the information. And that's why it's really important for us to continue having conversations like this. And for us to, you know, we talk a lot about having those hard conversations with the people in our lives. I think our last solo episode was all about that. But it is sort of, it's a really tough thing to do, but it's a really important thing to do because the more that we can sort of help clue more people into it, the more people will start asking those why questions and less people will be thinking it's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a big reason why we had this podcast.
For sure.
Because we don't know what we don't know.
Yeah.
And I know that both you and I, once we learned, you know, about things like intuitive eating and health at every size, And like legit, like the bonus episode, you guys, the crash course that I have, the bonus episode that I'm doing on Thursday, like I created that in the first place because I was like, oh my God, this is stuff that like we all should know this.
Yeah.
We're all being duped and we all should know this stuff. But like until we know it, we don't know it.
Absolutely.
And so that's a big reason why we have this podcast. So we're like, hey, can we bring more people into the truth of the harms of diet culture and dieting and pseudo wellness and all of this so that we can actually see what's going on here and the damage? And thus, and it's that information that actually is like the doorway, it's the entryway for us to exit. Like we need to actually be empowered with the facts and the research and the data for us to be like, oh, that's what's actually going on here. Oh, that actually makes sense. Oh, okay. So this isn't helping me.
Yeah.
Intuitive fasting is not the way out, right? But a journey like intuitive eating is.
Faux show.
Faux show, faux show. All right. So, you know, this is a topic that we're passionate about and we thought it was important to like come on the podcast and give voice to, you know, this wonderful new diet culture hijack, co-opting.
It's the wrapping paper, man.
Man.
It's always a pretty wrapping paper, but yeah. That's all it is, right? Yeah. It's artificial. It's on the outside. It's not the truth. And we think it's so important. We know we repeat a lot of stuff on the pod, but we think it's so important because it does take repetition and sort of like seeing the same thing from a lot of different sides.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so important to us to like continue having these conversations, especially when something does pop up like this, so that you can, you know, if you're having the same feelings, you know, you're not alone in it. You mm-hmm. feel validated that mm-hmm. it is triggering. It is upsetting.
Yeah.
It is really, really hard to see something you have worked so hard to overcome be co-opted by the thing that hurt you in the first place.
Oh, that's it right there. You know, Steph. That's it right there.
It's really, really hard when it's, I know that it took us years. We still do the work every day. Everybody listening to this podcast, no matter where you are in your journey, is that it's work every single day to overthrow the ideas of diet culture in your brain. And so to see something that was your pathway out or something you believe in be commodified and taken and twisted into something not beautiful and not freeing is just like really, really devastating. And so if you're feeling those hurt feelings and you're not sure why, it's okay. It's okay to be really, really frustrated and really hurt right now. And especially because of the timing mm-hmm. of when this happened, mm-hmm. you know, it's hard for us because obviously we can't record and put episodes out for you all like immediately. But we just want you to know that your feelings are super valid about it. And we're right there with you.
On a little like non-topic note, do you want to know what I'm going to do after this episode?
What are you going to do?
I'm going to go Google rollerblades.
I have rollerblades.
So a client, I had a group coaching call this morning and one of the clients is like, I like got my rollerblades out and I went on a roller run with my husband. Like her husband's a big runner like Alex is. And she's like, and I was like rollerblade next to him. And I'm like, oh, that sounds like so much fun. I was like, and honestly, there's a little bit of like rollerblading that scares me.
Yeah.
So, but I'm like, it sounds like so much fun. And I'm just like, I want to rollerblade this spring.
Okay. So probably like 4 or 5 years ago, a coworker and I were like, we're going to get really into rollerblading, but we couldn't find the wrist guards.
Oh yeah. I want all the things
And that was the thing that I was never comfortable because I was like, hi, my hands, I hold my camera and that's my moneymaker. Like I can't get like a freaking spiral fracture or whatever the frick happens when you fall wrong. And so I was always sort of afraid, but like, I love rollerblading. And my friend Katie always called it roller babesing.
Roller babesing.
Roller babesing. And so I want to get back into it too.
I figure the Olentangy Trail, which for listeners, it's like a bike and walk trail like by the river in Columbus.
Yeah.
But I feel like that would be a good place to like safely do it because it's pretty flat. And like if you were to go out of control, I could like fall into the grass.
Yeah.
You know?
I would practice in a parking lot first.
I would just be like really like, I'd be very cautious with it, but I think it'd be so fun.
It's really, really good movement for your body too. It's a good like workout. It's good. And it's, you get to be outside. You can wear a tank top. That's awesome.
I'm doing it. I'm going to Google some rollerblades.
I've got bike shorts. Ooh, I would look so good. I'm going to wear a fanny pack.
I think we need to have like a Babes Minute rollerblading photo shoot.
Oh, how, or like a roller babesing, a roller babesing meetup in the summer. Oh maybe God. When we've got vaccines.
Maybe when we all have vaccines.
How all, fun does everybody want to go roller babesing with us? Roller babesmitting with us? Oh, that's fun. Mouthful. Yeah, but I like it.
I like it. I'm like very, like, I feel very inspired by this idea.
That's like really
when, fun. Like when she said it, like roller running, I was like, oh my God. I'm like, I need that in my life. I had this picture of me and Alex like.
I love the idea of Alex and all his running gear and you just rollerblading right beside him. Like I think it sounds so perfect to me.
This is my life, you guys. On Sunday, he just casually ran 16 miles.
He's so good at running. I don't understand it at all.
Like, it's insane.
I hate running more than anything.
Like, people train so hard to run 13.1 miles. And he just, on a whim, is just like, I'm going to go out and run, like, 16. For the first time ever in the 8 years that we've been together, he called me. This is, like, 2 weeks ago. He called me at the end of a run being like, I need you to come pick me up. Because he was hung over and went out to run 14. And he made it 12. But he was like, I can't make it the final. Like, the final mile from the trail up to our house is like uphill. He's like, I just knew I couldn't. So actually, like, he probably even did the 13 because it's just a mile from there to our house. Anyway,
so just a casual half marathon. It's impressive.
Hung over.
You know, I think about how like—
Freak. He's a freak.
I used to go out a lot in my like mid-20s when I first moved back to Columbus. And I would like go out and then I would wake up the next morning and go to cycle class.
Oh my God.
And I would just be like reeking of tequila.
Oh my God.
Like sweating it all out. And I think about that now and I'm like, how did I not die?
I'm a person where my hangovers are like, I'm either brutally hungover where it's like, can't eat, can't move, like nauseous as fuck, like, mm-hmm. like violent till like 5 p.m. the next day.
Yeah.
Violent hangover or I'm not hungover at all. And so I basically have had to get just like really, really good at like knowing how to like drink a lot of water and mm-hmm. eat and not drink too much because like I probably have been the hungover like, let's say, I'll say five times in my life because it's just so awful.
Yeah.
That I just have like learned how I need to drink. Well, to like socially like, drink to like not get that drunk and not to like not because my hangovers are just like debilitating. I can't like I am jealous of people who are like, oh, I have to have like pancakes or like greasy food or I have to like, go to cycle and like I'm like I couldn't.
Well, that's why I like I really don't drink anymore. Like if you don't hang out with me, you don't know that like I'm like a one beer type of a gal, but I really don't drink anymore because I started getting so sick. I started getting such horrible hangovers. That was when I was like 25 and I could go out all three nights in a row of a weekend and be hungover and just be like, I just need a blue Gatorade, Taylor Swift's 1989 and an everything bagel and I'll be fine. That was the trifecta. Listen, tried and true for my early and mid 20s. It was tried and true, but
I wish that was my case.
I took a sharp turn somewhere around 26 or 27, and I've never been the same. And so now I don't drink at all.
I've never been like that. I've always had the brutal shit.
Well,
so. But I'm just, you know, I always have a water and I mean, listen, beer and wine.
I just take my emotional support water bottle with me everywhere.
Emotional support water? Like the emotional support bagel. It's
like the emotional support bagel. Mine is my emotional support water bottle. I took it with me to therapy because I started going to in-person therapy this week because I am starting to do EMDR processing, which we love. We talked to our friend Ann Brady about that when she was on the podcast. But I started doing in-person. I was like, oh, I need to bring my water bottle with me. I'm going to be out of the house for more than 10 minutes. And I was like, I'm going to a place where I have to wear a mask. Like, but I couldn't leave without the water bottle. I needed the water bottle. It has
emotional
to come with me.
Support.
It's my emotional support water bottle. And
that's legit.
I just don't mind me.
That is legit. All right, guys. That's it for today. I highly recommend High School Musical, the series. I just love that that's the name of the show.
And I highly recommend having an emotional support water bottle.
And with that, I think that you're well equipped for the rest of your day.
I think you are too. Thanks. We love you. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for tuning into another episode of The Babes Mint.
We hope you're feeling a little more at home in your body and inspired as hell.
If you are ready to change your relationship with your body and yourself, we're here for you.
Snag a goddess session with Steph.
Or check out Jules' free masterclass to free yourself from diet culture for good.
The links are on our website to learn more and sign up.
And of course, if you loved this episode, we'd so appreciate it if you spread the love a little bit.
Share the app.
Rate the show.
Leave a review.
Subscribe.
You know what to do. Until next time.
Thanks. We love you. Bye.